Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones joining us momentarily from the Sunbury Motor Studio. Big day for Bucknell Bison basketball fans. Coach Dave Paulson signs a five-year contract to stick around at Bucknell. Good news for the Bison fans, no question about that. We'll have Coach Paulson on at 3:15 here on the Steve Jones Show as he makes another appearance on the program, as he has done most of the season this year. Also making an appearance on the program, Buhner.
I'm here and really excited about hearing from Dave Paulson. You know, he'll be calling in momentarily, Kevin, and a great five-year contract. I think Bucknell fans are excited, but does Dave Paulson actually realize that what this means is he's got five more years of pregame interviews with Doug Birdsong on Eagle 107?
Maybe that's the reason he did it.
Could be.
That could be the reason. But it also means he's going to be on this program longer too.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that was not negotiated in the contract.
No, I think we got that in the fine print somewhere. But that's just great news for Bison fans all across the US and local fans who, you know, turn out in record numbers to watch the Bison under Dave Paulson's leadership.
Well, and he's done such a great job with the program. I mean, winning a stretch right now in Bucknell history, you know, going to the tournament this year. And you know, it was a tough draw. I mean, that was a good seed. Bucknell got some serious respect in the
absolutely.
Tournament from the committee.
You know, last year, a very good Lehigh team was 15th.
Yeah.
And so Bucknell this year comes in an 11 seed. And I, as you know, I was at that game. And, boy, those last 10 minutes were tough because Bucknell and under Dave Paulson came out after halftime and went on an incredible, I think, 17-2 run and had actually a nice lead. And then somebody put the lid on top of the net.
Yeah. Nothing dropped at that point. Well, Steve, we'll talk more about Bucknell basketball with the newly re-signed head coach of the Bison coming up after Above the Noise and Dan Patrick.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Success in the NCAA tournament is usually a mixed blessing for mid-majors. Typically, a coach goes on a run in March and parlays that into a bigger, better job. But times are changing. Shaka Smart is staying put at BCU despite overtures from UCLA and Minnesota. Brad Stevens still at Butler. It will be interesting to see if this year's Cinderella coaches stay put, Florida Gulf Coast Andy Enfield, and Wichita State's Greg Marshall will get offers, and maybe they'll stay too. The smaller schools are offering more competitive salaries, but the trend says more about the elite schools than the mid-majors. Big-time programs aren't as attractive as they used to be. That win-now philosophy permeates the sport, but the quest for a short-term fix usually leads to a long-term problem. Capable coaches are thinking twice about taking the supposedly prestigious jobs, probably because those jobs are starting to look less and less prestigious every day. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Buzzer beaters, cheerleaders, the office printers going on the fritz after producing too many brackets. That's March. Time when teams become Cinderella and walk-ons become legends. With all the action that's packed into just 3 weeks, it's impossible to absorb, to take it all in at home. Buffalo Wild Wings throws you an assist all month long with every game in plain sight, and wings spun in our 16 signature sauces at your fingertips. You can cross out the L's on your bracket with sauce instead of tears. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports, the official hangout of NCAA March Madness. Your check engine light isn't just a subtle hint. It's actually a warning that there could be a serious problem with your car. And lucky for you, the experts at AutoZone can help you figure it out before that small problem gets larger. They've got this special equipment to read the trouble codes and determine what's wrong. And they've got all the tools and tips at the ready so you can fix it right, too. If you're not comfortable doing the repair on your own, they can even refer you to a professional who can. So when that check engine light comes on, head to AutoZone. Don't wait. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK's On the Mark program. Tomorrow morning, we find out about all of the legends of success. John Resnick visits OTM, 8:30 to 10 a.m. on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Ray Martell, Ray Martell, Ray for your blue.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at rewfinancial.com. I am safely ensconced in the chateau. Kevin wants to see the chateau.
I want to see the chateau.
Buter hasn't seen the chateau either, so I don't feel so bad.
Sounds like a road trip.
You have an Bob, you have an open invitation anytime. Bring friends.
Oh, and some chips and some soda, and we can have a real good party.
A stop at tomorrow at Brewer's Outlet would be great.
Oh, the listen.
And bring Rick Weibel with you. And, Rick would love it.
The Purdy Insurance Agency can come for a liability purposes.
Absolutely. Oh, they'd look around and be impressed. When I had this built down here, and I had this done, my goodness, I think I did this 12 years ago. You know, it was perfect setup down here anyway, because my, quote, basement is a walkout. Okay? It's a walkout, and I don't have basement windows. I have sash windows.
What's a walkout?
Break the news to him,
well,
Steve.
No,
I mean, the only walkout I know are being kicked out. That's a different, but that's not the same.
Well, no. In other words, I don't have a Bilco door or anything like that, hatchway.
Okay.
I literally have a door that you open and walk out, and you're in your yard.
I understand now.
Is that why they call it a walkout, Steve?
Yes, I believe, Bob, you are correct in your interpretation.
I was guessing that, but we have to interpret for Kevin.
No, Bob, you weren't guessing. That's the difference.
Sorry, I have a
here,
basement
Bob.
Door. Most people call it a basement door.
And you know,
no, it's a regular walkout door. It looks like a front door you walk
it's
out.
It's called a basement door.
And Kevin and I are here at the mothership. And,
yes. Now the other part is though, is that when I had this done, okay, the inspector came through. And so, I mean, everything's a little different down here compared to the rest of the house, to be honest with you, you know, because codes change. Well, code enforcement comes through, and he says, yeah, what's this, a playroom, whatever. He said, no, what's this? And this was going to be my son's bedroom. And I said, well, it's bedroom. He goes, no, Steve, it's an office.
Oops.
Right. Yeah, he is like, no. He's like, no, it's an office.
Oh,
well,
wink, wink,
guess
nudge,
what?
Nudge.
12 years later, baby, it's an office. It is an office. He works in Pittsburgh now, and I'm in here broadcasting all the time.
I'm waiting to get my den back, and that's another 4 years away.
You're never getting it back.
Probably true.
All right. We are very pleased to bring in the head basketball coach of Bucknell, who's coming off a great run and has indeed signed a 5-year contract extension with Bucknell, which people around here are very, very grateful for. Dave, congratulations on that and to your team this past season.
Oh, thanks, Steve. You know, it was a great run. Really a blessing to coach a guy that I was able to coach this year and throughout the time here at Bucknell. We obviously wish it had turned out a little differently against Butler. But really proud of our guys' efforts and excited about staying here for quite a while.
I want to ask you about that, because, I mean, you knew that was going to be the topic of the day. We're finding an interesting trend in college basketball of a lot of coaches knowing who they are and what they like and what institutions they like to be associated with. We've seen that with Brad Stevens. We're now again seeing it with Shaka Smart. What is it about Bucknell and Dave Paulson that makes it a nice, comfortable fit for Dave Paulson?
Well, I just think, you know, our values are aligned properly in the sense that the things that are really important to Bucknell and the administrators and the president and the leadership and the faculty are the things that are important to me, and vice versa. You know, that I think if you really want the best of both worlds, to really be a true student athlete, and you know, to really belong academically at the institution and yet play basketball at the highest level, Division I basketball. We're one of a handful of schools that you really do it. And you'll see a guy like Mike Muscala be an academic All-American and not only be the player of the year in the league, but the scholar athlete of the year. This is a place where those things can happen, and those are the types of young men that I really enjoy coaching.
And thus, it ends up being a really good fit for you. The timing of this, you know, so close after the season, not saying there's any sense of urgency on either side, but how comfortable were you with the timing to at least let especially recruits know going forward who the head coach at Bucknell was going to be?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, important. You know, so much, it's just a different era today in college basketball, Steve, and you know, anyone can start a rumor and about anything at any time, certainly with the internet now, and you know, I think it's important for our guys here and our potential recruits to know that we're planning on being here for a long time. We've got some work to do. We're replacing some really, really, really good players, but we're excited about doing that work and excited about the place and the process, and looking forward to putting some more championship banners up there.
Because of the success that Bucknell had prior to you and the success that you have continued, I mean, three Patriot League championships here in what, a four-year span, which or three in a row, which is remarkable, three in a row in the regular season. What kind of reception are you getting from recruits when they walk in and you sit down and say, I want to talk to you about Bucknell University?
You know, we're getting great reception. You know, at the end of the day, it's still a niche where the kid's got to be a terrific student. So that eliminates the vast majority of guys. You know, I think they're aware of our success. I think, you know, if things happen as we expect, you know, when they see a guy from Bucknell get drafted in June, I think that will help. But at the end of the day, we're still Bucknell and we're still in the Patriot League. So if somebody wants to be on ESPN 42 times during their career, you know, we're not the place for them. But if they want to go to a place where they're going to get an unbelievable education and they're going to compete like crazy every single night and play with unselfish, coachable guys, then this is the place for them.
I want to get to that last part of the statement. You're not just a basketball coach. You are a teacher as well. You talked about working with coachable guys. The environment that Bucknell creates, does that also create a really nice coachable situation for you for the most part?
No, there's no question about it. You know, these are guys that understand the bigger picture. They understand that, you know, we're not getting the nation off a fiscal cliff. You know, there's not that much global significance to what we're doing. But having said that, for those two and a half hours a day when we're in the gym, it's the most important thing. And our guys really understand that and buy into it. And just a joy to coach every single day.
Right. Moving forward now, obviously the Patriot is better than ever. This may be the best I've ever seen the Patriot in terms of depth, what Lehigh's done, what Lafayette has done coming on, plus others within the conference. What are the challenges of being in a one-bid conference with growing depth?
Well, and then we're adding Loyola and Boston University next year. It's really challenging. I would be lying if I didn't say I felt pressure the entire year this year because we had an unbelievable team, and one slip-up or one missed shot, we could be left out of the tournament. You know, it's hard. It's really hard, and I think our league is underrated. You know, but at the end of the day, it's a great competitive league, and we just want to be the best we can be. But it's going to be harder because, as you said, that like Army has vastly improved, Lafayette, Colgate's made great strides. Now you're going to add a Loyola and a Boston University and programs that have really invested in their basketball program. It's going to be really, really challenging.
Your players, though, your younger players, you've talked about your veteran team, but your younger players had a taste of what it was like to be in the show. How invaluable is it just for them to get that taste so they have that hunger to be back again?
Well, I think that's important. I think that's really important. I think also the example that our you know, Joe Wellman and Bryson Johnson, Mike Muscala set, not only in terms of their productivity, but in terms of their work ethic and their focus and just you know, the professional way in which they went about their business, I think that is rubbing off on our guys, hopefully, because that's what needs to happen. You know, we're giving our guys a couple of weeks to rest their bodies and recharge, and then we'll be back at work. And we need some guys that every guy that's returning has to step into a much, much larger role. And what they gave us off the bench might have been gravy, and now we need it to be the main course next year.
To that end, how important is a summer, and are games made in a summer?
Games are made, yeah. You know, I read a tweet the other day, it's not the off season, it's the preseason. You know, that, and just that you know, we'll start to work with our individual workouts and those types of things, you know, again, starting next Monday. And this is it. You know, these guys have to improve. And we told our guys in our last meeting, I'll define your roles when we get to October and November, but don't you settle for anything right now. Stretch your wings and come back ready for the start of practice, showing me you can do more things. And that's how we get better. So we really want our guys to stretch themselves and challenge themselves and be all they can be here in the off season.
Dave, just a personal question for you here at the end, then I'll let you go. I think you could tell by the tone of my questions as the season went along that I knew the pressure that you had being in a one-bid league. And let's face it, you were the favorite. You go through it. I know you were relieved. Since the loss to Butler, and I know it's a year-round job, but have you at least had a chance personally to relax a little bit and actually savor the accomplishments?
You know what, Steve, and sadly to say, no, I haven't. It's, you know, and I need to, and here we are, our kids are out of school, and I'm trying to get out of the office early to do something with them, you know, because, you know, my kids and my wife put up with that for a long haul. No, and at some point, hopefully, we'll savor it, but, you know, you get done, you go through the feeling of depression, and then you start coming in and you're like, okay, we got all this stuff to do. We got to do, you know, off-season workouts, got to get on the road recruiting, help Mike Muscala in the agent selection process, schedule our games for next year. So hopefully at some point we'll get a chance to kind of rest and reflect on it.
I hope you do, Dave, because you deserve it very much. You know how much I've enjoyed working with you all season long and the great respect I have for the job you do. Congratulations on a well-deserved contract extension, and we're excited about next year.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
All right, you too. Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. What a job he's done, and I hope sincerely that he does get an opportunity to savor what he's accomplished, because they have accomplished a lot. But that's the pressure that we see in coaching today. That's the pressure we see all the time. You know, and I see it etched in faces. I saw it etched in John Thompson's face in a losing press conference. I saw the joy in Andy Enfield's too.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, bonjour, hello.
The multilingual part of the program.
Buner in the house.
Isn't that Dave Paulson just an amazing fellow?
He's done a great job. And look, the guy's won it. He won a Division III national championship.
I think he was 71-1 over two seasons, because the season, one of the two seasons, he was in the national championship undefeated and lost in the final game.
Yeah.
And the next year ran the table.
But great to deal with.
Yes. Class all around.
Yeah, I love talking basketball with him. And he's so intelligent.
You know,
you talk about a guy that matches his university. The head basketball coach and the head football coach match the university.
I was just going to say that, and here's why. I think that's so true, and you've nailed it. He's a Williams College graduate. He coached Division III at Williams College.
That's very close to where I grew up. Yeah,
and it's got a reputation of academics first, and then whatever else happens afterwards is fine. At the same time, an incredible athletic program to go with their strong excellence in the classroom. So it's a perfect match for a guy from Williams to end up at Bucknell.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Well said, Bob, appreciate that. And we, by the way, are on Thursday brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. Let's put a bow on the wrestling season. Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated. Tim was, well, I was at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. He was at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. Timmy, what was that like?
There's a lot of Iowa fans, I'll tell you that. It seems like the entire arena was full of Iowa fans. If they weren't Iowa fans, it was Iowa State, and a lot of fans who didn't want to see Penn State winning.
Right.
So it was a hostile crowd for the Penn State wrestling team this weekend.
To win the way they did a third consecutive time, what impressed you?
Probably the way that Quentin Wright, Ed Ruth, and David Taylor kind of really just carried the team on their shoulders, especially Quentin with his, wrestling his last tournament, a Penn State singlet, last match in a Penn State singlet Saturday night. But those three as a whole, they really, really had just an outstanding tournament, even though David lost in the final. But here's just a quick number for you, Steve. Between those three, they actually combined for 72 team points.
Right.
And to put that into perspective, Iowa, as a whole team, which qualified 9 wrestlers, they only scored 73. So Ruth, Taylor, and Quinn were only 1 point behind the entire Hawkeye team. That just kind of goes to show how important those three are to the current roster and to this championship that they won third straight.
Yeah, David Taylor, a quick note on him before we get to the Dake match. Without his bonus points, they don't win the national championship.
Exactly.
David Taylor is a major, major reason why Penn State won a third straight national championship, because of all the bonus points that he put together for this team to win.
Yeah, after the tournament, he was honored with the Guerrerian Award, which they hand out at each tournament for the wrestler who scores the most pins in the least amount of time. So he had 4 pins in 9 minutes and 23 seconds, I believe it was, which a full match lasts 7 minutes. So basically the kid wrestled 2.5 matches the entire time he was out there, if you're breaking it down lengthwise. But the bonus points that come along with those pins are the most important part. And going back through these team points, Quentin Wright, who won the national championship, he scored 22 total team points himself. Mm-hmm. David, who finished as a runner-up, actually scored 24, 2 more points than what Quentin had scored. So that just goes to show how important those bonus points are. It's basically like having another wrestler in the tournament.
No question. Now, the Dake match, and I want to say this with all due respect to Kyle Dake, because what he did was, his career is unbelievable to win 4 in 4 different weight classes. I've said the same thing about Wisconsin basketball and Bo Ryan. Bo Ryan and what he does is exactly what Wisconsin basketball needs to succeed. But it's not great for the sport, right, in terms of style.
Mm-hmm.
David Taylor's style is great for the sport. Dake's is not.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. I mean, I really respect what Dake has done. Watching him wrestle. And
right. I prefaced it by saying that, Tim, I respect what he's done, what he does is perfect for him to win, but it doesn't advance the excitement of the sport.
That's true. And that's something that Kale really tries to stress to the entire team, is go out there and score as many points as you can, try as many takedowns, take a risk, put some things out there on the line. And yeah, I understand that, whereas Dake really wrestles a defensive style, trying to wait for David to, make his move, and then he reacts afterwards. But watching Dake out of that tournament, he is just so impressive with his strength and his endurance.
No question.
His just unwillingness to lose. The kid just doesn't know how to lose when the stage is on, or when the spotlight's on that stage. And it just, that feat is just so impressive in itself. And then to add into the fact that the kid never took a red shirt in the sport of wrestling, so many of these best athletes take the red shirt, and it's just a huge advantage for them. Dake went through, 4 years, and that's just a huge feat in itself. But David Taylor, since he's been at Penn State, he's slowly but surely changing the way the sport has to be wrestled, how opponents have to, you know, wrestle him. But then you're also seeing kids in high school and coming up through college who are taking this approach to the sport similar to what David Taylor has, what Cale Sanderson has, and it's that full go attack mode, you know, the full 7 minutes of the route, score as many points as possible, get the pin if it's open. And he's really, in a way, revolutionizing how the sport is competed.
Right, and this is what I was talking about earlier when I was talking about Florida Gulf Coast as a basketball team. Look, you got 2 minutes to go in the game. You're up seven. You pull the ball out, run some clock, get a shot, maybe get a free throw. They're throwing alley-oops. The crowd loved it. I mean, and see, David Taylor wrestles in a way that brings fans into the arena. Okay?
Exactly.
They don't want to see 2-1.
Exactly. And that's, in a way, that's what makes Dake's feat so impressive this year is that he had David Taylor
in
the way, and he was able to neutralize this scoring machine that is David. And, you know, that definitely adds towards Dake's feet. But as I was saying, you know, David's style that he, you know, brought to Penn State, it's rubbing off on a lot of people and outside of the Penn State singles, rubbing off on a lot of high school wrestlers and youth wrestlers who want to be part of this sport and want to wrestle the way David has rather than going out there and, you know, we're trying to win by 1 or 2 points. You know, you're seeing a lot of people who want to go out there and, you know, and win big.
Ed Ruth and Quentin Wright both moved weight classes to open the door for Matt Brown, and the payoff was obvious. Brown got to the national final. When you see what each of the two of them did, because they knew it was best for the team, and then what Brown did, talk about that dynamic.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, just being able to get Brown in the lineup, that he had an awesome tournament. Even though he fell in the finals, you know, he had an awesome tournament, wrestled at his best that I'd seen him at all year long. And that's just huge to have him in the lineup. So that move from Ruth and Quentin, that's what allowed Matt to get in there at 174. So Ruth went up to 184 and didn't miss a beat. I think he was even more dominant this year than in years past. And he said since the beginning of the year that he felt more comfortable at 184. He felt stronger. He felt quicker. That's just his natural weight. So, you know, I was kind of expecting Ed to have that type of success as the year went on. But Quentin, you know, that was even a little bit of a bigger jump, going all the way up to 97. Yeah, those are some big boys up there, you know, right on the fringe of heavyweight. And Kilgore, for example, the Kent State standout that Quentin Wright had in the finals, I mean, he just was all muscle. And,
yes.
You know, Quentin's a big kid, but standing next to Kilgore, you know, Kilgore just looked to be a lot bigger, a lot stronger. But Quentin's style, Quentin's, you know, attack mode really neutralized Kilgore in the finals. And he had one of the best matches that I've ever seen him wrestle. And he kind of showed through that tournament and through the year, since he really wasn't beaten, that 197 wasn't really a problem for him moving up. And I thought that might have been, you know, a little bit of a concern at the beginning of the season, because that's a pretty big jump. You know, you have a 13-pound jump from one year to the other. That's a pretty big jump for this sport. And he handled it. He handled
it
just magnificently, including Saturday night.
When Russ Rose was in a run of winning 4 national championships in 4 years, he emphasized to his team each and every year, he said, look, there may be some carryover because some of you are here, but it is not carryover. Each team takes on its own personality. You start from square one. In a pursuit of a 4th straight national championship, what do you envision Penn State, based on what you see talent-wise on this team, as to whether they have what it takes to pull it off next year again?
I think they do, because of, you know, they have Ed Ruth and David Taylor there for one more season, and you know those two are going to go on a tear their senior year. But then you also have Matt Brown that was able to work into the weight room. He still has 2 more years of eligibility. Nico Megalutis, who was also a finalist, he has 2 more years of eligibility. Then the Altons, they both have 2 more years. So there's a lot of firepower still in that lineup. The biggest question mark is this going to be, you know, how do they replace Quentin Wright? Not even just at a standpoint, but his leadership, what he brought wrestling team to the community, to the fans around here. That's going to be the biggest hole to replace. And honestly, I don't know if there is a replacement that can fill everything that Quinn, you know, fulfilled during his career here at Penn State. They do Morgan McIntosh coming in at 97th year. He national finals a year ago as a true freshman. They redshirted him this year when they bumped Quinton up. So very, very can score points and very talented wrestler who could come in and maybe not be a next year, but certainly contend for an All-American honor. And if that's the case, he comes in there and is healthy and wrestles well, I think Penn State really could have a chance to win four straight, you know, especially with David and Ed still there as the headliners. The big question will be what's going to happen after David and Ed graduate. You know, that's when the recruits are going to have to start filling in, and it's going to be, you know, the next step here at Cal Sanderson's tenure is once David and Ed, you know, have moved on.
Well, we'll talk about a year from now when it comes up.
That's yeah, one. You have to enjoy it because they have one more year. Yeah. You have to enjoy it because it's not too often you have two wrestlers like that on the same lineup.
No.
That's, you know, probably never happened before.
Very, very special people. Yeah. There's one thing about this area between Jeff Byers, Travis Johnson, yourself. I don't think any area has better wrestling coverage than we do. And, Tim, you do a great job. And we thank you very much for your perspective, which a lot of people appreciate very much.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. Yeah, Jeff Byers is one of the best call guys in this sport, and you know Travis does a great job too for the Center Daily Times. It's just a great job.
Yeah, all three of you do. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me back, Steve.
Yep. Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated, putting a bow in the Penn State wrestling season. David Taylor did not win his title at 165, but in the end, David Taylor is a major reason why Penn State wins a team championship with his 24 points. I mean, 24 points. That's huge.
Will they four-peat?
Yes, they will. Well, the key is that between Megalutis, first of all, Taylor and Ruth are both back. The amount of bonus points that you get from those two is astronomical. In fact, Taylor might pin his way to the championship next year. They'll get bonus points in every match he wrestles. They'll get bonus points in every match that Ruth wrestles. Now you add in Nico Megalutis, who I think has a shot to be a national champ at 125, and I think one of the Alton brothers is going to make it. They're going to get through. I think they have enough in terms of bonus points as to how it's scored to win it.
I really agree with that assessment, and I think they've got some darn good recruits coming their way, including Zane Rutherford from a little Benton by way of Line Mountain that could add some, yep. Could make a real good impact.
No question.
Just
it's
an amazing
deep
run.
Team. Yeah, it's a very deep team. This is what I talk about with basketball. The recruits that Patrick Chambers is bringing in basketball, and we had Dave on before, when you can create competition on your practice field, practice court, or wrestling room, when you have competition there, it makes life out on the big stage with the lights easier. Penn State has incredible competition in the wrestling room. That's why when they go out to wrestle, sometimes it seems easier than the practices.
I forgot to mention one of those guys that does make that happen is Daly from Danville High School, a kid I watched wrestle for four years, and I know he pushes Quinton Wright, not around, but he just pushes him to excel. And having people like that who really make the program, because you have to have a tough workout partner. Just need it in that sport.
Well, we will push forward here. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. Buhner, Kevin, and I will be back in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. LeBron James, you know, when you go through and you win 27 in a row and you're universally praised as the best player in the world and you have one guy on ESPN for 3 hours lecture fans that they're only fans and he's objective and then obviously gushes himself about one guy for 3 hours and really embarrasses himself doing it, you know, he finally loses a game and starts talking about all the hard fouls that were committed on him. Look, you won 27 in a row. Lose with some grace. Okay? Lose with some grace. Give the other team credit. You've run roughshod over the league now for since February 1st. You haven't lost since February 1st. Right? And he's out there last night and talking about, well, the hard foul to Taj Gibson, you know, the hard foul to Kurt Heinrich. Heinrich's like, it's 6'1".
He's like a gnat.
You're in the NBA.
He was holding on. He's holding on for dear life. I mean, LeBron James is built. I mean, have you ever seen a more powerfully built athlete than LeBron James? I mean, he could take a key and toss it over a hedge.
You're in the NBA, okay? Stop whining about everything. You're in the NBA, look, period.
But the game is completely different than when he started his career, when it was far more physical. The NBA made a conscious effort to clean the game up and clean it up to the point where you have more room to operate. It has benefited the visual effect of the game and has made it a better game, something that college basketball needs to change. College basketball needs to change the block charge. College basketball needs to change hand checking as well because it is a game of passing and shooting and dribbling and movement. Okay? It is not a tractor pull. And so he gets two hard fouls last night, and he was called for his first flagrant of the year, and he deserved it. He threw an elbow into the chest of Carlos Boozer. But the bottom line is they mixed it up with him last night, and when it's done, just say after the game, hey, look, give those guys all the credit. They play hard basketball, and, you know, Heat Bulls games get physical like that sometimes, and move on. Lose with grace and class. I mean, if anybody ought to be used to losing a big game, it's him.
He made it seem like it was one of the signs of the end of the world.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Exactly. I mean, look, he has been praised. Everything has been praised since he won the championship. Praise for how great he played in the playoffs last year, and he was great in the playoffs last year. Praise for how great he was in the Olympics, and he was great in the Olympic Games. Praise for how he's played this season, because he has been great all season long. And the Heat have been praise, incredible, unbelievable. Oh, with the pantheon of the greats of all time, blah, 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 27 games in a row and the whole thing, Bill Russell couldn't compete with this guy and blah, 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 blah. You know, well, the difference is I saw Bill Russell play.
Yes.
Okay. Fine.
Well,
you know,
the season's not over.
Let me put it this way. The 64 Celtics had Bill Russell, John Havlicek, Bob Cousy, Sam Jones, Casey Jones, Tom Heinsohn, and Bill Sherman. Okay? He'd go five with those guys, and that's only if the Celtics are bored one night. Okay? All right? I mean, seriously. I mean, Cousy is better than any point guard that they have. Miami didn't have a point guard. And Havlicek, oh my goodness.